podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Safe drivers save up to 20% with Insurance. Get a quote at AAA.com/insurance.
Hello, and on this podcast, we're going to be talking road to the knockout stage, investing in low-end fodder, meta player prices, and FIFA no longer being called FIFA. I'm your host, Ben, and you'll hear all that and more on this week's Foot Weekly podcast, brought to you by the Pod supporters and available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Hello, welcome. It's week five. It's a content podcast again, actually, because just trying to get back in sync with EA's promo schedule, because this is the first week of Road to the Knockouts, which we'll be talking about in a second. Gameplay will be the focus of the podcast next week on the main feed, and then it will alternate as we usually do. Just wanted to say also the start of the cycle, of course, and there's people coming back to listen who haven't listened for a little while, and you always wonder how many people will, and to see so many come back and presumably new listeners as well, because even more people listening than the start of last cycle is just incredible. I was wondering with lockdown whether that might have influenced things, but you know, huge enthusiasm. And it's just fantastic to see and be a part of it. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your support if you're a supporter. And of course, if you are new around here, you've just started listening, then do subscribe on your podcast platform so you can get the notifications when the podcast drops, like this one, which we will now get into. And I'll introduce Air Japes FIFA, a YouTube legend and regular on the pod. Hello, Japes. How are we?
I'm doing well, Ben. Happy to be back and talking content, of which there is a lot already. And so if that's any indication for the cycle, I think you're going to see a lot of lower rated players get some pretty big time cards over the course of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely something we want to talk about, because there's been some very interesting boosts to some of these road to the knockout stage, which is actually kind of a brand new promo. So yeah, that'll be interesting to talk about. We also have with us Matt Foot Trading, who'll be joining us for the gameplay pod, the sports episode as well. Hello, Matt.
Thank you very much, Ben. Yep, it's new promo week. We're diving into it. A lot of new cards out, a lot of new SBCs, and yeah, a certain gameplay objective that we might not spend too much time on, given the potential for the upgrade. But good content all around for the start of Road to the Knockouts.
Yeah, it's been good. And to discuss it all and maybe give some important insights on what the market is doing around the first, I guess, new promo of the cycle, and the first kind of proper promo in a way, because One to Watch doesn't really have boosted cards as such, so it is more interesting. We have Nate, the Foot Accountant. Hello.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for having me on again. It's awesome to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you.
Yeah, second promo of the year and more live cards. So that's, even though they're live in a different aspect, I think it's interesting that we're starting off this year with live cards, three different promo teams in a row, maybe a fourth if there's a team two.
Well, yeah, it said team one on the graphic, didn't it? So it kind of has to be that there's a team two, or at least that's how the graphics normally work. But we did also have a mini release, which I thought was just going to be for One to Watch, but there were four more players on Sunday, which was nice.
Yeah, they didn't mention it on like the webpage on the actual FIFA website or the Ultimate Team website about a mini release like they did for Ones to Watch, but maybe that's the new norm, which I don't mind. I mean, nice to get a couple more promo cards in packs.
Yeah, and just casually dropping the best Premier League left back in the form of Robertson as well on the Sunday night, which is a bit of a surprise. We will talk about the squad in a second, but first let's start with, as we always do, pound for pound powerhouse. This is any player we've seen released roughly over the past week that we think offers the best value. They can be an SBC player, they can be a player off the market, they could be an objective player. And I'm going to start us off, just to get us into it, with a listener suggestion. Boomhead going for Inform Tushiyemi, and I apologize, pronunciation may not be on point there. Great size with good stats and always ends up in the right place for me. Surprisingly, can rip long shots too. He's someone that I've also found really effective. Was fortunate enough to get him as a red pick, and he's just been someone who, yeah, anchors that midfield really well and very aggressive and very, very imposing. But let's get into our suggestions. And what I'm going to do is put these together in a poll on Twitter so that the listeners out there can vote for who they believe has given the best pound for pound suggestion of the week. You'll be able to catch that over on Twitter at Foot Weekly Pod. But let's get our first nomination in then from Japes. Who are you going to go for?
So I feel like I've done a lot of, you know, attackers and defenders. This week, I am going to go with a goalkeeper.
Ooh.
I have used every goalkeeper from the Serie A, and certainly he doesn't match up to like your Donnarummas of the world, but I think he is a very, very strong case for best keeper in Serie A, and that is Mike Maignan from the French keeper from AC Milan. I much prefer him to Chesney, to Handanovic, and I think even like across the board, he makes better, you know, Allison's maybe better, but he's like tier like 1B for me as far as keepers go. He can be had for 3,700 coins, 6'3", you know, has I think 82 default reactions, Ben. So something we've talked about before. And he seems like a really, really strong option. Unfortunate that he picks up an injury, I think, in real life. So he won't be getting any informs anytime soon. But pound for pound, I think he's a great option to protect your goal.
Indeed. And we move on to Matt for trading. Who do you want to throw into the mix?
For me, it's a 2,500 coin central midfielder, and it's Renato Sanchez. It has to be.
2,500. Oh my gosh.
He's just incredible. I played him in a 4-2-3-1, left CDM on stay back next to Bruno Fernandes. And he just wins everything. He's like a mini Kante. You know, 4-star skills, 4-star weak foot, high work rates, 5-9, 85 agility, 89 balance. His interceptions are only 75, but they feel they could be, you know, 85, 90. It's absolutely incredible. 86 acceleration, 87 stamina, so he doesn't really get burnt out that much. And yeah, he was just incredible for me. Won back so many loose passes for me. Has got a decent little pass on him himself, especially if, you know, they are one X's into attackers. So for me, helps me on the grind to rank one this week. And for 2,500 coins, I mean, that's what, about two or three games, maybe, you know, maybe four, if you're not getting 800 coins per game. It's just incredible. Incredible value for what was a very, very solid centre midfielder for me.
Yeah, great suggestion. And I mean, yeah, no idea he was that cheap at this point. And let me move on to Nate, the foot accountant. What are you going to go for your pound for pound?
Well, I think I'm going to look a little bit from a market point of perspective. And this is just a pound for pound investment / I don't know. This card fills a hole that there literally was no good cards in this position before. French right wing back, road to the knockout stage, Mukiele. I mean, the best right back that is French in the game was like the gold class card before. And this one, I know that he maybe isn't the most super meta, but from an investment standpoint, I don't think his card's going to get upgraded. Just based on they're in the same group with PSG and Manchester City in Champions League, and they have 0 points thus far in their group. So, I mean, that might make his card price, you know, I don't think he's going to increase that much just because of the hype for the upgrade, but he's literally the only, like, besides a 78 rated gold card, he's the only French right back in the game, the only special card that's French and as a right back. And there's so many French center backs that people are using, especially with like the Fekir and the Dembele, just like the La Liga, the player of the month, Benzema. I feel like France is a really hyped up nation at the moment. So I'm really kind of curious with that card to see where he goes in the next couple of weeks out of packs. And, you know, they might release another, you know, French right back in the future. But for now, this guy's it. So whether he's the most super meta or not, I think he just fills a void that was left open before.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a thing for a while, the French right back and the lack of an option there, because I think was it Russia? There's a French Super League, so Turkish League right back who last year had a team of the season, and I think he rose quite a bit out of packs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That card though did get super cheap, so I don't know whether we're going to see quite the same rise, but it'll be interesting to see. Let's move on to another listener suggestion for pound. Rob here going for the most expensive pound for pound ever with Morientes. Cost me 270k, but feel he is easily the best striker before you get to the 1 million plus area. First striker with a clear goal-to-goal record of 47 in 30 games, all Division 3 and champs. 4-star, 4-star, using a hawk, so it's 90 pace, 97 shooting, 90 physical. The dribbling feels great for a big man, and he is a menace in the air. Could compare him to Hero Kane, who's 2 times the price, and see the value. Links great to the new Fekir card, and La Liga has other hidden gems that make his links worth it. Yeah, very good suggestion there. And of course, an important one, which I'm actually going to volunteer as my own suggestion because it is that important. DJ going for pound for pound powerhouse, Neil. his electrician, who ran an Ethernet wire from the front room to the upstairs study, reducing jitter to 0.01 and improving gameplay unimaginably. Much better use of cache than FIFA points. And while I know that the EA connection tool or quality report can tell people that they have a really good connection, actually, as I've found over the past year, with advice from a guest on a podcast I did recently, that there were many things I could do to improve my connection. And there are many supporters out there who've listened to that pod and found that what was suggested there, they've tried and it's made a really significant difference. And it's been great to see that. So if you are a supporter, do check out that connection special. And if you are not a supporter, but have been considering it, then I'll sneak in a cheeky plug, because there is also that 24,000 FIFA point competition running at the moment. You may not want to miss out on. Just search Foot Weekly Patron, and it's very quick and easy to join, and there's loads of perks available. Just £3 a month, remember, for bonus podcast double every week. That's enough of a plug from me. Let's get into what we're about to talk about, and that is Road to the Knockouts, a brand new promo, very similar in some ways to the Road to the Final, but in this one they get an upgrade for getting through the group stage, and they'll also get one if they win 3 in their last 4 games of the group stage. I'm assuming we'll probably still see Road to the Final.
Yeah, I would think that that might be the way they do it, like have a normal Road to the Final promo after this one is kind of said and done, like in maybe the normal time frame. Maybe they'll do a little bit later this year, I guess, because a lot of these cards won't have their upgrades locked in until, like, I think match day 6 is December, like the first week of December. So maybe Road to the Final might not be until, you know, January this year or something, because usually we had that gap where Road to the Final, like the group stages ended and these cards came out, and then we waited for the next two and a half months with nothing before the knockout stages started. So maybe we'll see Road to the Final later on in the year, and they're just kind of, I think that they put on their website too that these cards won't transition to keep upgrading after the knockout stages.
Yeah, they did.
So
that would kind of make sense, yeah.
But then why they gave them the boost that they did to begin with.
Some nice boosts in these cards. I know you want to look at some of the cards, like I remember when they posted the Marquinhos, I was like, wow, like that's a double boost, right? And the Vidal card with plus 10 pace, and then like you mentioned, the Manafa card got a big boost, Danjuma got a pretty big boost over the inform that he already had, the Traore card. Isak, right?
Yeah. That Isak card is silly.
It is weird because they followed this quite random upgrade pathway for some of these players. Like Vidal should have gone, if it's a double upgrade, from an 81 to an 84, then an 84 to an 86. But actually, he went from 81 to 85.
That's true, yeah.
And there are all these like slightly random boosts going on. But the good thing is that all of them are therefore actually quite enticing, I think, for people, because there's more of an upgrade than they would get if it was just like a one-off boost. And they have the upgrade potential. But even with some of these players who don't really have that much upgrade potential, they're actually going for a decent price. So now I guess there is interest around these players, no matter if they are upgraded or not.
Yeah. Looking at the team again, like I feel like some people thought that this team, it had good players in it and it had pretty sizable boosts and they were nice cards. But some people, you look at the squad, like there's going to be a good amount of these dudes that don't get upgraded. Like you're like Tonali and Milan are, you know, 0 points in their group. There's comeback potential, but I don't know. I feel like some people were, there wasn't as much Prem either. So some people were like not as happy with that, if you will.
I just feel like for a lot of these cards, they gave them like a built-in kind of like extra boost, right? Mm. So like even if they don't get the upgrades right, they're still going to be super usable for a long, long time.
Yeah, for sure.
That's true. I mean, there's an interesting point. With someone like Tonali, I think people think he's just not going to get a boost. But of course, with the 3 wins in your last 4, they're not doing great, Milan. But it's possible that they could potentially do all right and he could get one upgrade, although, you know, then they maybe have a chance of going through. It's extremely unlikely, but he's, you know, not badly priced because it's a decent upgrade already. I used his 81 rated inform for a bit, and he actually has quite a physically imposing body type. It's a unique one, and he's 5'11", and he's so much better on the ball than someone like Kante, who's a comparable option because he's got the same work rates, the high defensive, medium attacking, which a lot of good CDMs on this game, or players you'd think make good CDMs, don't have. But a big thing I wanted to point out on him, which will, I think, mean he's not quite as good, or not nearly as good really defensively, as Kante, is the reactions and defensive awareness, which are huge, huge stats on defensive players. If you look at Kante's reactions, they're 93 and Tonali only has 80. And defensive awareness, Kante has 95, Tonali has 84. So he's not going to be nearly as good. But of course, he's so much cheaper. I mean, 90-something K versus 400 or 500. And on top of that, 90 short passing, 89 long passing, he's actually someone who can create from deep, which I think Kante definitely struggles to do. And yeah, the 84 is a good upgrade over the inform. And actually, the 86 would be amazing. It'd give him a nice boost, but it's not really necessary, I suppose, for this card to be quite unique and useful.
Yeah, I think so. And I think also it's just kind of how you view it, right? Like, these cards all got pretty sizable boosts. And if you view it through the lens of, hey, we just got some really neat cards with some big boosts, you know, and you're just looking at it that way and not necessarily worried about in 2 months from now when most of these will have their upgrades decided or, you know, will be through the group stages and you'll know which ones are getting upgraded. Like, we're going to have a lot more cards that are out, a lot more cool things you're going to be able to try in the game. So if you view it right now, it's just like, hey, we got a couple really nice boosted items here that I want to try out for my team, and you're not so as much worried about those upgrades that were coming a month and a half, 2 months down the road, then. I mean, it's still a pretty solid promo team with some nice cards.
I think that's also a good point that Nate mentioned when it comes to investing in these cards, because I see a lot of people, you know, they're saying, oh, that Diop, for example, he's going to be an 86 rated centre back. West Ham are going to get through their group. They're going to get three wins. I think people need to realize, again, how long it's going to take for these cards to get upgraded. So talking about these cards as investments in terms of upgrade potential might not be the smartest way to go, because those upgrades will take such a long time. We're going to get new cards in between now and when they receive their upgrades. So I think for an investing perspective, maybe just look at these cards at face value at what they are at the moment in terms of the overall FIFA meta. And yeah, don't get too hooked on those upgrades and those potential new ratings that will be coming in, well, yeah, a couple of months' time.
What are you telling the FIFA community to act rationally?
I'll be surprised. Do you know what I fully expect? If any of these cards score a goal this week in the Champions League, Europa League, I guarantee some of them will spike in value because people think they're going to be upgraded. Yeah. It will happen. It was like Depay, when he scored the penalty. He went up, what, like 40K?
Yeah.
It's just, well, even though he's just had an inform, we can't get another one for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Always the way. And actually, talking of La Liga attackers, one of the best bits of content we've seen, I think, is that Fekir SBC. And of course, I would say that having said that last week that the gold Fekir with a Hunter Kempstar was my pound for pound and a phenomenal striker. He does look incredible. Japes, I know you're reviewing him on the Gameplay podcast. We already recorded that and you were really impressed. I used him in co-op actually to try him out and he is really, really good. The only thing is though, with chemistry, I'm actually not sure I'm going to do him because, of course, did pack. Just, you know, for those who don't know, the untradeable Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, so, wow. Did you bet?
Have you really bet? You haven't mentioned it at all. Yeah.
But actually, do you know what? I can take the heat off me because, Nate, I swear, you might have got another Ronaldo since we the last podcast.
I'm not having this.
So this was an untradeable reward from Rivals.
Division 8 Rivals. I don't know what happened that day. I literally won the lottery, and so I do have an R9 middle untradeable in my club from Division 8 Rivals. Unbelievable. Filled.
Yeah, it's good to know that whenever Nate's on, I can just point at him if anyone wants to give me stick for that pull, so it's good to know. But I did want to talk about the Fekir, because actually I'm probably not going to do him just because that does make it much more awkward for chemistry. And one of my few foot talents is actually avoiding doing unnecessary player SBCs. I don't think I've ever actually regretted doing or not doing a player SBC, so I'm hoping to stick to that. But I might be tempted if some untradeable fodder comes my way. I don't have the untradeables to complete Fekir's 86 rated squad. And actually, 86 and above rated players, the fodder has really risen quite a lot since that SBC came out. So we have finally seen a fodder rise, I guess, for the first time.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like, I think some, like Toni Kroos was one card that I saw in particular. Like, kind of, he jumped up. It was like 14, 15,000 coins. And right now he's sitting at like 19, almost 20K. So some of that higher tier stuff has gone up a bit. And also, I noticed right away, too, there was a French or a France player requirement in one of the Fakir SBC sections. And I noticed Luca Digne, there's really not that many French, like especially 84s, 85s. I mean, there's only a couple. So there was that French requirement and a lot of the 84s didn't move that much. But Digne went from like 1.8K to like, I think he's almost 4K at the moment, or he was almost 4K just because of the lack of French fodder cards. I mean, besides Magnan, of course, as well. But I mean, that was something I was kind of interested in. Maybe with a little bit more research, there could be another, you know, they release another French SBC and, you know, that could be a good, for a fodder investor standpoint, something to kind of take note of.
Yeah. And actually that leads us on to another question I have for you. And this one comes from Mac and Marvel. He says, a question regarding low end fodder. We've seen signs that if we're patient, the 85 plus will act like normal fodder given time, but nothing has moved the needle on 83s or 84s at all. Will it eventually rise with more SBCs, or will the preview packs and better pack odds keep it down?
I think that it will rise up, but honestly, the thing that keeps coming to my mind that it's going to take to move a lot of that would be something that's repeatable. And usually that sort of SBC doesn't come right away, like whether it's maybe a repeatable team of the week upgrade that could have some hype. I don't remember when they usually release those, but I don't think it's until at least a month or so in. You think about like an icon SBC that would maybe move it, like a base icon upgrade SBC. Those come like last year around somewhere around the Black Friday timeframe, I believe. Or maybe just consistent content with a lot of really good players like a Fakir, then maybe you would start to see that go up a little bit. But yeah, it's definitely with the supply this year, a little slower.
Yeah, I do actually have an interesting point about preview packs potentially, which could make 83 and 84 rated fodder almost a bit more robust in some ways, because people do their preview packs every day. If they get an 86 rated player in their preview pack, they're going to buy that preview pack for 7.5K because the player is worth, what, like 15K odd. However, if it's an 83 or 84 rated player, they're not going to buy that pack until that player is worth, you know, 7K, which would be a good profit on the 83s and 84s who are like 2K, 3K very most at the moment. And also with those 83s and 84s, there are a lot out there. So you can do a club stock, get them into your club without taking up space on your transfer list or on your transfer targets. So potentially, you know, there is actually more of an argument for investing in 83s and 84s than people might be thinking.
True. I've always been just a fan of doing the club stock, like you said. And I think that the 84s have kind of gone up a little bit in these past few days. Like you had Benzema and you had Fakir. So you had a little bit of demand in there that wasn't previously there before. Before they were like 1.2, 1.3K. If they get back down to that level, then I would say for sure. I'm never a huge fan of the unassigned. It can be insanely profitable, but just the way that it looks this year so far, it might take a while to get 84s back to like 3,000-4,000 coins. The one thing I would say too, you mentioned like the preview packs. The more packs this year, they're not the ones that are in the store, but like you get from an SBC or from your rewards that have that 80 plus, 82 plus, 83 plus like guarantee from that pack. A lot of those are untradeable, but some of them are tradable. And I think that might be supplying some of those cards too. Like I feel like almost every time I open 82 plus pack, or like there's an 82 plus requirement or guarantee in the pack, I'm packing that Kjær, the Danish center back from Milan, right?
Like, Simon Kjær, Ballon d'Or nominee.
Oh, really?
Is he actually?
That's like, oh, yes. Joshua Kimmich. No. Simon Kjær. Yes, yes.
Every day's a school day. Sorry, Nate, you were saying?
That basically was just my point, that I think that some of that extra supply this year and the cards being low and taking a longer time to rise, even though we're still in the really early time frame, is some of those packs have that rating guarantee.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And we're going to talk more about the market, particularly for players people might be using, the meta players and things like that, later in the podcast. We have some things to discuss around potentially the name of the game we're all playing changing, or it's basically confirmed that it will, and also some other content bits to cover too. We'll do that just after this break. So you'll have probably heard before that Foot Weekly is made possible by our supporters, and that could be anyone, it could be you, for example. But it's also Shane, who's the founder of Misty Jerseys. Shane's a long-term supporter of the pod, and he's offering 10% off the premium box for Foot Weekly listeners. What that means is for a special rate of just over £30, plus a little bit more for postage, depending on where you are in the world, you can get yourself a mystery box containing a random football shirt, which could be from a range of different clubs and nations around the world. One of the really good things about it is that you can send a message with your order saying that you wouldn't like a shirt from a particular club, presumably a rival club. And you can also specify which particular colour too, in case, you know, it's not going to suit you. So if you would like to take advantage of that, you just head over to Mystique Jerseys, which is M-Y-S-T-I-Q-U-E, and then jerseys.com, and then you can use the code FOOTWEEKLY, so F-U-T weekly, to get that 15% off. A huge thanks to Shane and Mystique Jerseys for supporting the pod, and of course to all those supporters out there keeping the podcast going. Let's get back into part two. Right, so getting back into it, a couple of little content bits to cover. We had the Player of the Month Bundesliga, Wirtz, who looks pretty decent. He's had good reviews, four-star, strong stamina, ability on the ball, shooting. I mean, he looks decent, but he has gone up a bit because of fodder prices rising. The other player we had SBC-wise was the De Ligt, who has actually had a shout-out from you, Japes, his base gold card. And on the gameplay pod, you're going to be giving him a little review because you've used him. But I did want to move on to possibly one of the more disappointing players that we've seen this cycle, and that is the Benjamin Andre, the CDM from Lille. And it's fair to say, Matt, this objective has come in for a fair bit of criticism, as it isn't maybe the best selection.
Yep. So Lille, they're currently bottom of their group with, you know, Salzburg, Sevilla, and Wolfsburg. It's not the toughest group, but again, like, I don't think Lille are an outstanding team anyway, if I'm being brutally honest. Are they going to get three wins out of four with only 1 point from their first two games? I'd say it's unlikely, isn't it? And there's better cards out there. And I had a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a rant, but you know how I voice my opinions on social media. there's so many different routes they could have gone down with. You know, even just a cool Sevilla player. You know, we had Koundé last year. That's the comparison. One of the best objectives we had all year for you know, the UCL promo. And we're getting someone that is barely going to get upgraded and is already, you know, 2-3 weeks into the game, has better alternatives for the nation, for the league, in the same position. So I think for gameplay objectives this week, it's rather a large L if we have to put the double L on it. I can't see him getting into many teams. If you're running a first owner, I guess, you know, I'm running a first owner and I've already packed Tchouaméni and Renato and Wijnaldum. So it's, I don't think it makes too much sense for a lot of people.
It's interesting though, just to play devil's advocate, one thing I would say is that if you look at Andre's rule breakers last year, it was very valuable. I think it was about 130k because it was a unique link in a way. A, it was one of the few good French Ligue 1 central midfielders. And it also had that strong link to the Renato Sanchez inform. Renato Sanchez doesn't have an inform this year. And also there is now the Tuchiemi inform, who's very good, who we mentioned earlier, as an alternative French defensive midfielder who's actually probably better. So when they were planning this, it actually might have seemed like a good idea, like they were filling a niche, but that niche is no longer really there and it wouldn't have the same value as last year, even though this one is actually live, whereas last year was just a simple special item in a way. We'll obviously have to see what they bring as the other objective, because there'll probably be another one with Team 2 potentially, and it's nowhere near as good as last year's objective around this time, which was the rule breakers Mukiele, who was obviously the best Bundesliga and French right back. So yeah, not particularly good. But anyway, let's move on to something else very interesting that's been developing over the last few weeks and has come to a head, because this year is really the final year of the FIFA rights belonging to EA. We have now seen a statement from FIFA saying they are, as in the organization, not the game, saying that they are going to be exploring multiple partnerships around gaming for FIFA. And that came out because EA originally made a statement saying they're exploring alternatives to the name of FIFA and, I guess, evaluating what FIFA brings, as in the organization, to the game FIFA. The rumors going around, I think it's rumors, I don't know how verified the information is, was that FIFA were basically saying to EA, you're going to need to pay us around $1 billion or something like that, which is a huge, huge amount, considering actually the only license they really hold is for the World Cup. And although that is a huge deal, of course, to some extent, it's every 4 years, or even if it becomes every 2 years, and it isn't really crucial when you think how successful the Path to Glory Euros promo was when they didn't have the licensing for the Euros. I don't know, maybe I'm not giving the FIFA brand enough credit here, but James, what are your thoughts on this?
How much brand equity does EA have over the with the FIFA namesake title? You know, I think increasingly they call themselves EA Sports FIFA. So if they changed it to EA Sports FIFA Pro, like,
yeah.
Here's the problem. In order to, you know, like truly negotiate the way FIFA is trying to here, you really have to, you know, have somebody by the balls. And I don't think they have EA that way.
Yeah, well, on top of that, there was a post someone shared from LinkedIn where basically the head of FIFA Pro was, I think it was the head of FIFA Pro or someone like that, saying, excited to renew our partnership with EA, yeah, you know, for the long term, basically. And EA replying, someone from EA replying like, yeah, it was great to do business and move forward with you. And obviously FIFA Pro are the ones that actually have the rights to the names of players. So they are the really important one. And so, yeah, I think clearly that it's not going to be quite the big deal that people probably outside of the game would think it would be, but it will be interesting to know what they end up renaming it, because they will have to rename it.
I think the one thing is interesting too is, especially for Ultimate Team, like that name won't change, because Ultimate Team is like, that's an EA brand. Like you look at all the other titles that EA have, and Ultimate Team is, you know, in Madden and it's in NHL. So like that part of it won't change. So like you mentioned, if they do, if instead of FIFA, if it's FIFA Pro, or if, even if it's just EA Sports Ultimate Team, like I don't feel like that would change too much. Everybody would still call it FIFA, at least for the first couple of years anyway. So I don't,
it's true.
It does, it's interesting, but I don't think the impact would be that large of a scale.
Yeah, you'd imagine they want to use something like Football Ultimate Team to keep the foot, or at least I hope they do, because that would make things significantly easier for the Foot Weekly podcast. But I think if you just think about it anyway, they've got to have something that's differentiating it from the other Ultimate Team games that they have for other sports.
Yep.
So I'd think it would have to be EA Sports Football 23, and then it would be like EA Sports Football Ultimate Team. I think they actually registered the trademark EA Sports FC Football Club, I suppose. I was wondering whether they may have to end up going back to what they had before, where they had FIFA Soccer and FIFA Football 2004 to differentiate for the North American market. But yeah, how much difference would it make, Japes? Do you reckon they could just call it all football and it would be all right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the soccer definitely helps. That said, like if people are, it depends, like if they're not familiar with the franchise and they're just searching for like soccer video game, you can probably handle that with descriptions. And I think that, you know, if you think about the way like game discoveries set up, like again, this is the point is like they don't, like PES isn't doing anything. EA has got a ton, in my opinion, EA has a ton of flexibility here. Whatever they decide, it's like a borderline monopoly, right? So whatever they decide, I think they'll get away with.
Yeah, well, I mean, the lack of a competitor really isn't good for the game in many ways. And I think there are two brand new games that are being created at the moment, which maybe have some promise. We'll have to see UFL and Goals. We're really yet to see what they're about, but it's interesting because it could finally provide a bit of competition that PES hasn't managed to do if these things do well. I wanted to move on to talking about, as James, you said, getting away with it, the glitch that was present in finals on Friday. It was, according to EA's tweet, patched on Friday evening UK time. So it wasn't available, if you like, for that long. It was Friday work and school time, I suppose. And also the other thing, though, on the flip side, is that it was presumably very easy to find out by accident, considering the way that it was done was actually a way people sometimes rage quit out of games anyway. So yeah, it is a funny one, and they're going to have to be careful about not false banning people and stuff like that. But I think we can all agree that there does need to be an example set here. Something needs to be done. In fact, it may have been done by the time people listen.
I hope they bring down the ban hammer.
At the very least, they should have, you know, suspensions from gameplay or something.
Yeah, or like, or bar them from entering foot champs for, you know, what they're going to try to weigh up is, okay, if we do this, what is our potential long-term revenue impact from this? And is it a significant enough amount of players that it's going to impact overall player engagement, right? So I don't know. It's a tough one, but I have no issue, like, some serious punishments for people that are abusing, you know, glitches in the game to get rewards.
Yeah, and they tweeted out from the EA FIFA Direct account, and they said, "We are identifying players that exploited the issue and we'll be following up with them directly."
Yeah, that, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's going to be one of those messages, isn't it? Like the warnings where people, you know, transfer coins or something. It's like, "Ooh, this is against terms of service." And they'll put up like the little yellow exclamation mark or something. "Ooh, don't do that again." Slap on the wrist, you know? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens, but I think we can all agree something does need to happen to those who were able to get better ranks in Weekend League beyond what they should have got because they were abusing this glitch. Let's move on to talking about more market chat, actually, because I know the prices of meta players, the players people have in their squads, the players people are using, is something that is very much on people's minds at the moment, particularly because we are now able to see the sort of rise and fall of those players across the course of a week or so, having had the first two finals weekends. What seems to be happening is almost the inverse, Nate, of what happened last year, where actually the rise happens after the Friday promo release and people get their rewards on the weekend, and then player prices go up on Monday and potentially on a Tuesday, especially if there isn't really any content. And then on Thursday with rewards, but also anticipation of the promo supply on Friday evening UK time, there's definitely panic before that, or a bit of unease about making purchases, especially because people can quite comfortably play their Weekend League games later in the weekend if they want to, or they may rush them early. And the kind of interesting gameplay, I suppose, is much more spread out than it once was, which has led to this different, almost inverted cycle from last year. But in terms of specific players, Kimpembe has been someone I've noticed rise a lot over the last 2 weeks. He sort of dipped a bit and then has shot up again and has gone really high. It's been really interesting to see that happen to a few really desirable players now.
Yep. And that's just where, like, I think now you're seeing, like, the cards that are the most meta in terms of popularity and what links to other meta cards, like, that's what's really starting to stand out. And that's the stuff that's really starting to kind of either maintain its price as a lower rated card or continue to go higher. Like Ousmane Dembele, that Kimpembe you mentioned. And then you look at like the elite tier of cards, which by now people are being able to progress towards. And Mbappe is just flying. He's like 1.75 mil. Those elite tier cards are just continuing to go up. And then your cards that were, you know, like more so starter cards, they just keep kind of dropping and kind of going down. Even like, it's mostly lower rated, but even like Dybala being a card that people say is really, really good. Like last week he was 28K and today he's 16K. So
yeah, exactly.
Just that elite tier stuff is what is going higher.
Yeah, I guess we do tend to see that around this time in the cycle, don't we? As people build coin totals up and able to afford those real top end players, like your Mbappe's, Ronaldo's maybe, but particularly Mbappe, I guess, because he just feels a different level in the game, I would say. And I suppose what people may then be thinking is, we may typically see this rise at the start of the cycle. We do also tend to start to see a drop off in the price of those rare golds. And I guess heroes would be included in that too, because they're impacts. And while they're rare, they're not ultra rare, and they will be packed and will go down eventually. When would you say people need to start being concerned about, I don't know, someone like a Kante dropping in price?
Yeah, I think especially for a lot of people and selling some of those top tier cards, like Black Friday is always the biggest, like, it's a huge day because that's when we usually start to see the lightning rounds. We see 50K, 100K, 125K packs. That is when people start looking towards that date. Like if you look some of the graphs in the past of meta cards and when they've hit their peaks, it's usually like, you know, late October, maybe mid to late October, because then everybody starts thinking about Black Friday, and that happens earlier and earlier every year. And, you know, especially this year with preview packs, we only have a 7.5 preview pack right now. They can add a new one anytime, and that would change a lot of things too. And so there's a lot of variables this year with the preview packs, I think. But I think if you're rocking somebody like, let's say you got Conte for your team, 2 weeks ago at like 400 something thousand coins, like 450, and you're seeing 100K rise, like I don't think you have to be super like worried about selling him in the next week before, you know, he would drop off immensely again, just because a lot of people still can't even afford that Conte. And in the next couple of weeks, they're just going to be beginning to get to a place where they could think about that card.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it is fascinating what you've seen the out of packs players I've been talking about before rise so much. You know, the Vinicius that I paid 130K for is 270 or 80 now. And you've seen that quite consistently with these out of pack special items. So interesting in terms of the road to the knockouts and how that does out of packs. It is interesting because it almost feels a bit retro with rare golds being very cheap, the lower rated ones, and on the flip side, out of packs players going up quite significantly and being a good investing option. But it's interesting to see this. Do you think it's the right play? Do you think it's what they were aiming to do?
I think the market, and especially like this idea of like the gold market being super, super low and things like Team of the Week and promo cards sort of being that step up, if you like, I kind of think that was what EA's intention was all along. Because I think if you've got things in packs that are just completely worthless, like the gold cards where, you know, you're packing a Haaland and he's 20K, and then you have a new batch of, say, these Roads to the Knockouts, they're the new shiny cards in packs. They look meta, but most importantly, they have value. So for people that are opening packs, they're looking at these cards thinking, oh, I need coins. I might as well try and open packs for these guys now. You know, I think perhaps that's the route EA want to go down, make the gold market super, super cheap, so put more emphasis on these new cards in packs, both from, you know, they're exciting new cards, but also they're the only real new cards with value. I think that adds a new sort of dynamic for people not only wanting to open packs to pack these new cards to put them in their teams, but to also pack them to actually make coins as well. But no, going back to the out of pack stuff, I think you know, this sort of ties into it. You know, if these are the cards that people will be upgrading to, outside of like the low end gold cards, I think, you know, out of packs, again, if these people are upgrading to them, supply dries up over time, and then these guys are going to see significant rises if they are continuing to get into teams over time, like that Vinicius is, like that Jesus Navas is, for example. So yeah, it's all about just trying to see who's getting into teams, who's linkable to new and upcoming SBCs. You know, even golds have been a good showcase of that with Dembele, Kimpembe, all the French guys. I think Koundé's come up a little bit. I think even Kante has gone up another 50 to 60K over this last weekend because of all the French links that we're starting to see.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be an interesting market this year for sure. I think there's a lot of emphasis on these promo cards and Team of the Weeks for sure.
Yeah, I mean, no placement coins at the start to boost coin totals, then nothing to suck coins away like a repeatable. So coin totals just going up and up.
Yeah, and just think about how many coins are injected now every week with the way the rewards are set up.
Yep.
Yeah, discard informs as well, injecting coins as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that actually does wrap us up. We're going to be saying goodbye to Nate. We're going to go off and do the gameplay podcast. We've got quite a lot of interesting listener questions to cover with our expert gameplay panel, and we'll be talking about defensive tips, headers even, a couple of other points, just more generally as well around tactics. And if you like the idea of potentially listening to that, and you also like the idea of 24,000 FIFA points, or the voucher equivalent, actually, I should say, then you can head over, support the pod, just £3 a month. You'll get double the podcast content over there, an extra podcast every week, which would be that gameplay podcast I just mentioned. And in the tiers above, there's loads of extra perks as well that you can get hold of. If you'd like to do that, you can head directly over to bit.ly/podpoints22. Very easy to sign up. You can also just search Foot Weekly Patron and you'll find it. Nate, thank you very much for stopping by. And Nate, the Foot Accountant, you can catch him in various different places. Do you want to let people know where?
Absolutely. You can catch me on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheFootAccountant, YouTube, The Foot Accountant, Twitter, same thing. I'll be there.
Great, great. And maybe a few more R9s to come.
Oh, man.
Thank you very much as well to Matt for trading. It's been great to have you on the podcast. Where can people catch you?
Thank you very much, Ben. Pleasure as always. Yeah, Twitch and Twitter, both Matt for trading. We're trying to be nice and consistent over on Twitch, sort of 7 PM UK most evenings. A bit of market, gameplay, and my very non-controversial FIFA opinions on Twitter as well.
Indeed. And our next guest will also catch on the gameplay pod. I think we're in for a delightful review. And the other player, I won't do a play on words because that could go kind of wrong. But thank you for coming on the pod.
The pleasure, as always, is all mine. Another great podcast. Plenty of fun things to talk about. So yeah, excited to see what EA has in store this week.
For sure. And there we go. We wrap up this week's Foot Weekly podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in, listener. And to you supporters, thank you very much for keeping the podcast going. And to those Icon patrons: Dave B, DJ FIFA Player, Coach Vass, Hugh J, Thomas, Alan G, Alistair, Jordan, Matt L, Chris W, Dougie, David S, Liam B, Harry P, Sam B, Adam G, Neil P, Jake G, Robbie S, Jake S, Damon H, Zach O, Tom B, Stephen F, Eric T, Christopher R, Jonathan P, Elliot M, Lee A, Paul, Johan P, Dominic, Rob P, Michael, Kraus, Adam A, Sam P, David C, Brian S, Sila P, Mikael L, Andrew C, Anthony R, Jeff B, Stephen M, Roger D, At Pace of a Tortoise, Stephen C, Andrew C, Dan W, Pobius, Sporkum, Bronco, Matt H, and Savage P. Plus a special thanks to Luke M, Dave B, Nick V, Hugh J, Tom M, Darren W, and Pato Foot for advice and production assistance.
At Lowe's, we know you can get the job done faster if you don't have to stop and come into the store all the time. That's why we've updated our app with your business in mind. With the app, you can build quotes, easily reorder your supplies, track orders, and much more. So you can get everything you need right away, stay on the job, finish it, and get started on the next one. Download the app today. Because Lowe's knows time is money. Lowe's knows pros.
Before I leave you, though, just one more thing to add. FIFA is a bit like life, really. It has its many ups and its many downs. And if you are having a few more downs than ups in real life in these more difficult times, then please don't feel that you're alone or need to struggle on without taking action. If you go to thecalmzone.net, there's loads of resources, advice, and support, or even just a chat available to anyone who needs it. If it sounds like it could help you, then head over to thecalmzone.net. And for now, I'll catch you next time.
At Lowe's, we know you can get the job done faster if you don't have to stop and come into the store all the time. That's why we've updated our app with your business in mind. With the app, you can build quotes, easily reorder your supplies, track orders, and much more. So you can get everything you need right away, stay on the job, finish it, and get started on the next one. Download the app today, because Lowe's knows time is money. Lowe's knows pros.
Sports Social Podcast Network.